Starscream here, and I am Lord and Master of all things Transformers. Don't tell Megatron.
Hey, everybody, this is Dan Kilbazan, voice of G1 Bumblebee, and you're listening to All Things Transformers.
You're listening to All Things Transformers, version 2.0.
Welcome to All Things Transformers. No, your ears do not deceive you. I am TFG1 Mike. Steve Megatron had to go on a 5-year journey into space at this time. This is episode 47 of All Things Transformers, version 2.0. This is somewhat of a contention amongst myself and the other two hosts. At least one of us, at least two of us out of the three agree. The other one gets a complete F for his homework.
I get an A for effort.
You get an F for effort.
There are two Fs couldn't... in effort, thank you.
You can get one of them.
You get a double negative F. You get an
well,
F minus.
Wait, what?
No, he gets an F minus. That's what he gets. Joining me is Optimus Solo. Hello.
I am here.
And Pecan Court Michael. Hello.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going. All right, so originally we weren't sure what the hell to do with this countdown. It was originally going to be top 10 Transformers voice actors, our favorite voice actors, to talk about them and the voices that they do. And then Optimus Solo just pointed out, well, we might as well just have all top 10 Frank Welker episodes, because that's pretty much, you know, Frank Welker did every single voice ever.
That's right.
Which he didn't, but...
Did you see on my Facebook wall earlier I posted Gary Oldman?
No. God.
Oh.
I'll have to go back and look at it later.
It's funny.
Yeah, I'll have to go back and look at it later. I actually just watched The Fifth Element again. It was Scott on cable.
There you go.
Love him in that. Anyway, so we had an option of either our top 10 favorite Transformers voice actors or our top 10 favorite Transformers voices. Two of us have gone with character voices, and Michael Wilson, who gets an F-, went with the voice actors.
Right, I cheated.
So, yeah.
That way I get more than 10.
All right. Do you have anything you want to add to this, Kevin?
No.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break and we'll come back with the top 10 after this.
Well, if you've got a better idea, my auditory circuits are go.
All right, we are back, and we're going to go with the cheater first. What is your number 10 Transformers voice actor?
My number 10 Transformers voice actor is Fred Willard, who voiced Animated Swindle. He just, he made that character for me. I've always loved Swindle. But Fred Willard really just made it. That whole series was full of good, you know, cameos, voice actor cameos, or celebrity cameos. But Fred Willard was one of my favorites, so he gets the number 10 spot as Animated Swindle.
Kevin, what is your number 10 favorite Transformers voice?
My favorite 10. Favorite character voice. Man, this is kind of hard to narrow down. But it's going to be my first entry in the countdown from none other than Frank Welker. And it's a different take on Frank Welker voice, and maybe not one that you'd expect me to list in the top 10 here. But I'm going to go with a G1 character, and that would be Rumble. I liked that voice because it was a different tone, different pitch than what we're getting with a lot of them. Also, he got a lot of cool lines in the writing of G1, in the writing of the movie, etc. He ended up being fortunate enough to have better lines than a lot of the other characters sometimes. But I liked what Frank Welker did with that voice. He you know, raised it up a little bit, had a little more of a younger, higher pitched, fun sounding voice there, you know, possibly with a tiny bit of an effect there. But I liked listening to Rumble talk much better than most of the other cassettes that did talk.
And let's give a shout out to Frenzy, who had no lines.
Yes.
No, he did. He had lines.
Did he?
Yeah.
You always hear Rumble. Rumble's like, let's Rumble, Rumble style. Or he'll say, well, in the movie, he's like, nobody calls Soundwave uncharismatic. I mean, there's just funny lines.
Well, after that, Frenzy says, let's kick tailgate.
Does he?
Yeah.
See, that's an example of him not getting his good lines.
He gets no love. Just no love whatsoever.
How about you, Mike?
Number 10, G1 Soundwave.
Busting out Soundwave already.
Already?
You know, I love G1 Soundwave. I love the, you know, everyone can say, oh, well, it's just Dr. Claw with a vocoder. It may be, but G1 Soundwave was awesome and cool. And I really dug him. The only reason why he's not higher is because I like a lot of voices more than that as we go along. So, Michael, who is your number 9 favorite voice actor?
Quick, change the subject.
That's right.
My number 9 is Tara Strong. Because I will never apologize for liking Tara Strong. She did a lot of...
Why would anyone have to?
I'm just saying. Well, you know, we're going to go through this list, and there's going to be a lot of iconic Transformer voices, and right. Tara Strong isn't. I mean, in animated, she did Sari. She did Slow-Mo, which was really cool. I mean, I like the, you know, the kind of 1920s gangster thing she did with Slow-Mo. She did Slipstream, which is a character who is... very popular with the fandom now, you know. Strika, which is a character that is not really all that popular with the fandom now. But I mean, she did a bunch of voices for animated, but not so much. You know, animated isn't the quintessential Transformers series, and she didn't do
anything. I heard Kevin just fall out of his chair.
Why?
Because you just said something bad about animated.
I'm not saying. Well, you know, I mean, out of the 30, you know, 30 different Transformers series or, you know, lines or so, the animated isn't. Yeah, I love it, but I mean, it's not my all time favorite, and it's not most people's all time favorite. And a lot of people may say, Tara Strong, what voice did she do in Transformers? Because I mean, she's got a lot of voices outside of Transformers, and she's very popular. Mm-hmm. But the fact of the matter is, she's beautiful, she's funny. I just love Tara Strong to death, and I will never apologize for digging Tara Strong.
Kevin, your number 9 favorite Transformers voice?
I guess my number 10 and my 9 were kind of oddball ones, maybe under the radar type of characters. Also, maybe not a voice actor Michael just talked about, maybe not a voice actor you think of when you think of the Transformers franchise. I'm going to go with the G1 character voiced by Hal Rail. Hal Rail did the voice of Shrapnel in G1. And I just really enjoyed listening to Shrapnel do anything in G1. He was cool in most of this. You know, he probably outshined the other Insecticons. I think that's pretty safe to say as far as the voice work and the lines he was given. So I really love Shrapnel. I think I didn't realize Hal Rail did the voice. He's a pretty famous voice actor, but not one that you would think of immediately when you think of Transformers. So my number 9 was Shrapnel from G1.
It's a good choice. Now, he was just at TFCon in I want to say Toronto, right?
Yep.
And I'm crossing the fingers and hoping he comes to Chicago too.
That'd be cool.
I think so, from what I've heard from our TFCon buddy.
Did he not also do Snarl?
Yes, I believe he did. I think, without looking at BehindTheVoiceActors.com, I don't know. But I think he did, yes. My number 9 is Transformers Prime Megatron.
Dun, dun, dun.
9? Really?
Yep.
He's busted out Soundwave and Megatron already.
I bet you thought that Steve was going to be here, so he was going to offset
no.
that a little bit for you.
No, not at all. What Frank Welker did to update Megatron and still have it somewhat sound like the G1 Megatron was amazing. First of all, he saved his own vocal cords by going to the other end of the spectrum. Instead of going high, he went low. And there are times where he is yelling as this Megatron, and it is just... I love... Transformers Prime Megatron... I know Steve is gonna, comment on the website about this, but Transformers Prime Megatron in the overall car version of Transformers, not the beast version, but the car version, Transformers Prime Megatron is easily the most badass villain we've ever had.
He's up there.
Mm-hmm.
And just to answer the question, Hal Rail did Snarl, he also did Pipes, and he did one of the sweeps in...
Poor Pipes.
Pipes. Yeah.
Poor Pipes. He got blown up. All right, Michael, number 8 favorite voice actor.
I'm going to go with one of my all-time favorite voice actors here, Steve Blum. Besides being the definitive voice of Wolverine, which has nothing to do with Transformers, Steve Blum played Starscream in Transformers Prime. He was Heatwave in Rescue Bots, one of my other favorite series because for various reasons, right? And he has been in a bunch of the Transformers video games because he is in the Guinness Book of World Records as the most prolific video game voiceover actor.
Yes, I love Steve Blum.
He's fantastic.
When they announced him as Starscream, everybody was waiting for him to give them a sample of what Starscream was going to sound like for Prime, and he said, "I'm sorry, I can't, not yet." And when he did, the internet exploded just like they're exploding right now at this moment over the Batmobile pictures from BBS. But seriously, though, when he revealed the voice and what it was going to be, it was like, oh my god, yes. Yeah. That so works for what Transformers Prime was.
Yeah. I mean, the definitive Wolverine voice is Steve Blum. And I was afraid that Starscream was going to be Wolverine. I mean, not that I would have complained, but it wouldn't have been Starscream, right?
Yeah. Yeah, no. Yeah. Kevin, your number 8 favorite voice?
My number 8, I absolutely love the job that this guy did with this character, and I guess most people would think if I was going to say this character in my countdown that I'd be talking about a different voice actor. My number 8 is going to be Unicron, and the rendition would be from Transformers Prime, and that would be John Noble, who does the voice there in Transformers Prime.
I thought you were going to go Orson Welles.
Yeah, that's why I said most people would probably think I was going to go that direction, but I'm actually going with the John Noble version on this one at my number 8 spot because I didn't know what to expect when Unicron was going to appear in Transformers Prime.
Mm-hmm.
And I was expecting to not like the voice of it, but John Noble did wonders with that voice. He had the deep booming sound that you expect, Orson Welles like, but he was able to act on top of voice, if that makes sense. It wasn't just giving us a voice, but he was acting through that voice, and it was probably one of my favorite voice work in Transformers Prime. So number 8, John Noble, Unicron, Transformers Prime.
Absolutely.
I'm going to have to go back and hear clips of that because I don't...
Oh, you're going to hear a clip of it at the end of this episode.
Yeah, I don't find it that memorable. I'm like, I don't remember what he sounded like.
Are you serious?
No, I don't.
The one line that I remember him saying is, "What is this I sense? The taint of Primus?" So that's well, gonna be at the end of this episode.
Taint the balls. Yeah, so must be the taint of Primus. Taint something. That's awful. See, now again, I think honorable mention, I would have went with Orson Welles as Unicron just because he's so quotable. Like the five lines that he have are ingrained in my brain forever. And then he died.
20% of his voice work. The rest of it is just Nelson Shin filling in.
Yeah, that's heavily modulated too.
Yes, very much so.
Yeah.
All right, number eight for me.
Let's see, he's done Soundwave, Megatron. Are we getting an Optimus Prime next?
Shut up. number eight for me is the guy with a million action credits at this point. He has played Bishop in X-Men Evolution.
Oh, there you go. Oh, no, wait.
He has played Panthro in the 2011 Thundercats. He has played, who else? Well, he was Kilowog in Green Lantern, the animated series. None other than Mr. Kevin Michael Richardson as Bulkhead in Transformers Prime.
Oh, I should have picked him.
I love Transformers Prime Bulkhead.
Oh, yeah.
The character voice, even though it's just Kevin Michael Richardson's almost regular voice,
all of them are Kevin Michael Richardson.
Just, yeah, well, yeah, but I mean, like, just what makes me so proud of this guy as this giant green robot in this character is, honestly, the Scraplets episode.
He screams like a little girl.
Yes. Bulkhead, you know, God knows how tall, you know, 25-foot-tall robot, you know, giant hulking thing, used to be a wrecker, screams like a little girl in front of this little itty-bitty Scraplet.
Funny.
Bulkhead in Prime, you know, no offense to the acting skills of Bill Fagerbakke, but I'm sorry, Bulkhead in Prime erased everything in my memory of Bulkhead from Animated. Because Bulkhead in Prime, I think if I counted it up, he had maybe in the entire series run five times where he was really, really stupid and dumb acting. But the character, pairing him up with Miko, I know a lot of people don't care for Miko fine, but pairing the two of them up and, you know, having the really, really, you know, having Bulkhead actually act like a decent character and have him act like he actually is getting to like what Miko likes, having him like heavy metal is just amazing. Like, just heavy metal music was just awesome. So, absolutely love Kevin Michael Richardson as Bulkhead and that character. And they did something with that character. They've done it. Okay, I guess this is a standard for Bulkheads because they did do it in Transformers Animated where that Bulkhead was a space bridge genius. Bulkhead and genius for Animated should not go in the same sentence. In Transformers Prime, they kind of did the same thing where he could read the hieroglyphics at some point or another. So really absolutely love that character and love, Kevin's voice for that character.
Yeah. I like Kevin and everything I hear. And again, it's usually his basic speaking voice. So when you hear him, it's like, oh, it's Kevin Michael Richardson, but it's awesome every time.
Yeah, absolutely.
He's got a great voice.
Absolutely. Michael, your number seven favorite voice actor.
Number seven, Corey Burton.
Which character?
Well, you know, I'll tell you. All of them. Not quite. No, I mean, he did a lot of characters, but I particularly like G1 Shockwave and how he transitions years and years and years later into Animated Shockwave.
Absolutely.
Animated Shockwave, I think you've made this argument before, Animated Shockwave is actually better than G1 Shockwave.
Well, the only reason why I say that is because G1 Shockwave in the entire 100 and something episodes, or 90 something episodes that show had, he says 10 things out of 90 something episodes. I mean,
it's kind of added to the appeal to me, though.
Okay.
He was somewhat of a more of a mysterious, not, we didn't know as much about him. It made me like him even more.
He's the Boba Fett of G1.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Oh, God, no.
It would be. If you had to pick one character that was, it would be
him.
Yeah.
And honestly, when you were little, once you had, you know, I think everyone had an Optimus Prime and a Soundwave, and if you were lucky, you got a Megatron and maybe a car or two, but everybody wanted to have a Shockwave.
Mm-hmm.
He was the laser gun that made lights and noise.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
No, he was.
And he was animated Megatron, which is in some in some circles, some people's favorite Megatron. So there's that.
Yeah, I mean, I do like him as animated Megatron. It was something different for Megatron, so that was interesting and cool. All right, what the hell number number seven, it's Kevin?
Seven, yeah.
Yeah, number seven.
I will go back to G1 with this one. I guess probably a lot of people would be expecting this to be towards the top of my countdown. I guess I'm only putting it up at number seven and not lower because it is basically the same voice that he used for another iconic 1980s character. My number seven would be Chris Latta's G1 Starscream. That's a pretty iconic voice. Yes, it's basically the same as Cobra Commander.
There's more hissing in G.I. Joe.
But it's still a very cool voice, very unique. I don't really know how he did that to his voice, and I would never want to do that to my voice. But everybody loves Starscream, so that voice was very cool. I guess when I was making my countdown, too, even though I had a bunch of people listed originally that I was eliminating people that just used their regular voice. Not that that's not still good voice acting, but if we're talking about unique voices, I guess I was trying to think of something different, and for this is like a prime example of something different. This is not Chris Latta's voice.
I'll buy that. Back in the 80s, you go, Chris, buddy, how do you do that Starscream voice? He's like, cocaine, lots and lots of cocaine. I don't even feel my throat right now.
Right. So yeah, Chris Latta Starscream number seven. Chris very Latta unique.
Starscream, yeah.
And can't be redone ever again.
Can't do it ever. Nobody can ever do that anymore.
Does my not. Number seven. It does not compute. my number seven. Well, I love the version in G1. I think it was a hell of a lot funnier and better done almost 25 years later and animated. And I'm talking about Mr. Micro Machine himself, John Machida Jr. as Blur in Transformers Animated.
There you go.
Zippy? I don't think I've ever been called Zippy before.
Zippy.
Absolutely love Machida coming back to do Blur. And I think that the creators and the producers and everybody for Animated, when they set out to do that, I think it's season 2, episode Velocity. It might be season 1. I'm not looking at what he said. Season 2, episode Velocity, where we have the street racing thing and the Blue Racer shows up and, you know, we see the Blue Racer. As Transformers fans, we all know it's Blur. But the big question is, who's going to be voicing him? And I was as shocked as Bumblebee was when Blur actually finally spoke, and I loved every minute of it.
I think they gave him better lines in the new series than they did in the G1 series, because it seemed like they... It seemed like that they were taking into account, this might be total bullshit, but it seemed like they were taking into account the fact that he was going to be translated into Japanese with a lot more lip flaps for the same line or something. So they said, just repeat the same thing 3 times. And it's like, okay. Just say it real fast. Okay.
You're doing video game lines, just hurry up and do them. Repeat everything 10 times. Yeah.
I didn't like G1 Blur for that reason, because I mean he wouldn't go on a diatribe, like it wouldn't be something that would just take longer to say, like Perceptor. It was the same thing over and over and over and over again, or he would say the same thing 3 times in slightly different verbiage, right. You know, but it would be the same point three times in a row. It would just be said really fast, whereas in animated they gave him that monologue that he just spat out. Boom, 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 boom.
I think they were probably worried. I think they did that intentionally back in the day because they were worried kids wouldn't be able to follow what he was saying. So they're like, oh, just say it three times, but it'll still be fast, but then they'll still hear what you said. I don't think that was necessary.
Kids didn't have any trouble following him on Micro Machines. They bought the hell out of those.
Right. Yeah. I think whoever was doing the voice directing there just didn't quite understand that. No, we'll get it. No problems.
I blame Wally.
Yes, we can all blame Wally Burr. Because you can't leave a Wally Burr session unless you're actually bleeding from your throat.
That's right. Perfectly. Nobody goes home.
That's right.
8 hours later, Machida just says, can I just say the same thing three times? Because
we'll do that.
Just go with that, John.
Michael, your number six favorite Transformers voice?
Number six, my favorite and yours, Scott McNeil. Scott McNeil mainly did Beast Wars stuff. He did a smattering of other things, but in the Beast Wars lineup, he was Dinobot, Rat Trap, Silverbolt, Waspinator, and he's just fantastic. He's a great guy. You know, I've had the chance to meet him a few times and talk with him because he talks with everybody at length.
Mm-hmm.
I think I've actually got a recording of him once that I brought back.
Yeah, Jason he did.
Moran. But yeah, great guy, fantastic voice actor. You know, he's one of the few that I've actually heard live who speaks to himself flawlessly, just jumping back and forth. It's a shame that, you know, they didn't use him more prominently, I should say, in other lines, because he is such a great actor.
Agreed. Yeah, absolutely. Kevin, you're number six.
All right. Everybody that said bad things about me earlier can take them back. My number six will be Orson Welles' version.
Unicron.
That's a cop out.
Ranked up a little higher, huh?
They're different. They're different takes on it. I appreciated John Nobles. I rank him in the top 10, but Orson Welles is even that much better. Maybe I'm just a sucker for that type of sounding voice in this franchise, but there was almost nothing better than hearing Orson Welles as Unicron and as a kid during Transformers the movie.
Yeah.
And it was just like pure intimidation and respect.
It just sounds like a really fat guy trying his best to breathe. Why?
That's the actuality.
Yeah, that's exactly what it was. He's like, then proceed on your way to oblivion. And it's like, man, he sounds like he's out of breath. You know, floating through space must be hard.
Unicron was a very old character. He'd been through a lot. It's like when you just wake up. It's like your wake up voice, like when you don't quite have it together yet. You're just like, whoa. It's a planet just waking up, man. Give it a break.
That's right. No. That's what happens? It's like, are you okay, Orson? I'm gonna die in 2 weeks. Fuck off. You
know? Man, we are not being friendly to Transformers voice actors who have died.
It's like exactly. Orson Welles is like, it's peas, damn it. I can't do it justice. What was that? The peas?
It's in July. In July. Why would you say in July?
That's right. Yeah. He tore into that guy.
Yeah. All right, my awesome. Number six. My number six is going to cause controversy because I know Kevin's going to scoff at me.
Scoff. Just now.
Yeah.
In anticipation.
Yeah, you will. You're going to do it again, too. My number six, they'd been teasing us for 3.5 seasons, almost 64 full episodes. We had nothing but beeps. Until Batman showed up and voiced Bumblebee in Transformers Prime.
Kevin Conroy.
No, Will Friedle from Ooh. Batman Beyond. Will Friedle. Eric Matthews from Boy Meets World.
Who?
Oh, my God.
I want to hear Kevin Conroy do Bumblebee.
That would have been hilarious. You know, I...
Why not?
No.
Oh, yeah, I guess.
Oh, yeah, he was. Yeah, he was. 2011,
Lion-O would have been a good Bumblebee voice. Okay. Yeah. Sure, it's young, and yeah, it's still commanding.
Yes. I absolutely love that they finally gave Bumblebee a voice. What I liked more about Bumblebee's character in Transformers Prime, yes, it was R2-D2-B, but it was better than the crappy Radio B in the movies. But what I loved about it is how everyone else basically interpreted... I think one of my favorite scenes out of Transformers Prime with Bumblebee and the rest of the cast is when he's... when he basically makes the sound for loop-de-loop, and RC says, oh, loop-de-loop. I just absolutely love that. But when they finally gave him a voice and it was Will Friedle, it was like, oh my god, that is amazing.
See, it wasn't Dan Gilbazan, so I was like, meh.
You know what? Honestly, I don't, unless, and this will never happen because the creators of Volkswagen will never let Hasbro do it again. Unless it's a bug.
It can't be Gilbazan?
It can't be Gilbazan. All right. Like, if I was going to choose a different Bumblebee character, I would pick from the games, War for Cybertron, Fall of Cybertron with Johnny Young Bosch.
Okay.
Because I like that voice for Bumblebee as well, yeah. But I mean, it just really meant something for me that we hadn't had a Bumblebee voice for 64 episodes, yeah. And then, you know, to bring in someone that I actually, you know, I knew what they were from, like, John Noble is Unicron, it's a cool Unicron voice, but until I looked him up online, I didn't know anything he had done previously, so for me, as a character, you know, Bumblebee as a character, knowing the person that is doing the voice, it really appeals to me as well.
Now, is Friedle returning for the new series?
Yep.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah. All right. I'll buy that.
For a dollar.
Maybe more than a dollar. $1.25. Dollar fitted. Quarter. But I mean, I'm crossing the fingers that the new series is going to be a little more fun, a little more...
It looks to be.
A little more animated, if you will, you know. if he pulls that off, it's basically going to be
a meld between Prime and animated, as far as I can tell with the design of the show.
That's what I'm thinking, just at first glance, and from the previews that I've seen.
Yeah.
We can cross the fingers.
Yep. All right, Michael, your number five favorite Transformers voice actor?
Number five, David Kaye. Just because he's awesome.
Wow, that low, huh?
What? Five? Should he be higher? You know, if Steve were here, he'd be like, number one, bitches! but I'm not Steve. But, you know, Beast Wars Megatron, iconic Megatron voice. You know, not to be surpassed by Welker, you know, but still pretty great. I thought he was fantastic as animated Optimus. And I might even, you know, give him some appreciation for animated Grimlock, because he's no Greg Berger, but he made me like Grimlock.
Yeah. What about you, Kev, number five?
All right. Top five here. Yeah, I think you had him in the wrong number position. I think he deserves to be higher. I'll go with my second Frank Welker on my list, and that would be G1 Soundwave. Probably my favorite voice as a kid. Drops down to number five now as an adult, I guess. But maybe cheap because of the vocoder, but everybody thought Soundwave sounded cool. Like, he was the most robotic sounding Transformer we got, I guess. So it just sounded right. It sounded different. It had a cool effect. And it made you want the toy. It made you like the character. It was one of those things for me, even that I liked more, was that he was obviously a man of few words. So it was like when he did talk, everybody was paying attention because it seems like this is going to be important because he doesn't talk all the time. So I don't know. I enjoyed what they did with Soundwave from G1. Not number 10, number 5.
I mean, if I really wanted to put Soundwave higher, I would have added the Prime version of him because of one line.
The one line. I'll get you on the top 10.
One line he had, yeah. My number 5 is Swindle from Transformers Animated.
Woo!
Fred Willard. Oh, my God. I liked Swindle in G1, but he never really... every time I saw him, he said like one or two lines, and then Galvatron was just ripping him a new one half the time.
Well, that was later, but early on, he had like one or two episodes all to himself.
Nah, I think Fred Willard made him cooler.
I have to agree.
Just the way that Willard's voice is, and the way that the character, I mean, this guy, the only time he was ever shocked is when he gave birth to Optimus Prime.
Because that doesn't happen every day.
No. And for those of you who tried to erase Transformers Animated from your memories, there's a point where Optimus Prime comes through Swindle's personal space bridge or personal warp drive. He basically comes out of the guy's chest.
little pocket universe there.
Yes, yeah.
It's weird. I can't remember that.
I'll find a video.
It was later. Later.
Yeah.
Because I had to wait for my memory.
Yes.
I had to suppress that memory. I was traumatized. And...
What is this show you guys keep talking about?
Oh, shut up. You jerk. Michael, number four, favorite voice actor.
Number four, Mr. Greg Berger. I have to make sure that I pronounce this right, because for some reason there's two G's in Greg. Greg. You know, Greg did a couple of voices, but my favorite, I think everyone's favorite, is G1 Grimlock. Mm-hmm. And there was an arc to Grimlock where he started out like badass and really kind of really dumb. And then as he became more of Daniel's puppy in season three, he got more lines.
Give him a crown, give him an apron, make him go cook the chicken.
There you go. He had more lines, but he wasn't quite. He was still kind of silly. He was still dumb, but he was more silly than you know, leadership material. They didn't surround him with his other Dinobots, and he's just kind of like comic relief at that point. But when he came back and did Grimlock again for Fall of Cybertron, it was like, wow. It was almost like Frank Welker coming back and doing Megatron again. Mm-hmm. It was like, wow, this is the best thing ever. And you just salivate. Oh.
Awesome. Kev, that's number my number four.
My number four. Haven't gone there yet. And Steve would appreciate it, so I will go to the World of the Beast Wars for my number four. Michael kind of mentioned it already, but Scott McNeil's version of Dinobot. That's a really hard voice to do. Mm. It's a hard voice to mimic.
Yeah.
And it also, in his performance, you got that. I mean, obviously the character is both good at times and bad at times, et cetera. He's kind of like straddling that fence a lot. And you get that from the voice. If you hear that voice, you're not quite sure, is that coming from a good character? Is that coming from a bad character? And the inflections that he does. And I just really, really liked what he did with Dinobot during that series. It's probably one of my favorite characters from that series at times. So first Beast Wars for me, Scott McNeil, Dinobot.
That's a good choice as far as, you know, Scott McNeil voices. I'm going to tell a quick Scott McNeil Dinobot story in that one year, not too long ago, I want to say it was 2010, maybe, he was nominated, voted for, and won, or Dinobot, Beast Wars Dinobot, won a place in the Transformers Hall of Fame. And they had a dinner, and I was there. Scott McNeil was there. He was maybe two tables in front of me.
And they basically snubbed
him. They snubbed him. They, you know, every character, you know, that wins, you know, they have a little montage that Hasbro put together. It was really awesome. It showed off all of the Dinobot scenes. And did they ask him to come up and say a few words? I mean, he was sitting right there next to the stage. They could have said, Scott McNeil, this is an iconic character brought to life by you. You know, this isn't G1. Dinobot or any other dinosaurs. This is, you know, your Dinobot that you brought to life, and people love you for it, and he's in the Hall of Fame now. Would you like to speak on his behalf? Nope. They just let him sit in there eating his bad chicken. It's like, no, I guess I'll just sit here. Never mind.
Do they let other voice actors talk for the other?
I don't want to say that they did. I believe they did. I don't want to say that they did.
That's weird.
Maybe they did in previous years. I'm not sure. Maybe they thought they were short for time.
Would have been better if he would have got up and stormed off.
Well, yeah, that would have been awesome. He, fuck you guys! just stomped out of the ballroom. But maybe they were, you know, like I said, maybe they were short for time. And you know, Scott is known to be long-winded. They didn't want him up there for half an hour. I don't know, but I've kind of felt bad for him. He was sitting right there. They could have easily called him up and had him say a few words. They could have even nudged him a little bit and said, keep it short, Scott, you know?
Right.
Off the mic, right?
Mm, bad planning.
But no, nothing. I know. I was really surprised. I'm sure the whole ballroom, you know, would have stood up and given the man a standing ovation because that was his character.
Right.
Yeah. Kev, number four.
Scott McNeil, Dinobot.
Oh, that's right. So, I got so confused with the story, I thought it was still him talking about his number four.
I get two number fours? Hold on a second. Let me pick somebody else.
No. This is going to shock a lot of people. This is probably going to cause people to drop their iDevices and MP3 players.
Their iDevices.
What the fuck?
All right.
I don't own any iDevices.
It's easier than saying all of the different damn names that Apple has. Number four. shut up. Number four is Bender himself. Hot Rod Rodimus Prime, G1.
Oh, I'm like, who did John DiMaggio for?
I know, I was already writing down John DiMaggio. I don't know where we're going with this, but I'm gonna keep writing.
Transformers voice? I don't remember. How
John
Bender, I would have picked him.
John Bender himself from Breakfast Club. Okay. You know, Mr. Judd Nelson as Hot Rod and Rodimus Prime. wait, what?
Nothing.
What'd you say?
So now everybody's caught up to us.
Yeah, yes,
exactly.
The way Mike's brain works, folks, sometimes we just enjoy the ride.
I wasn't sure what to think of them bringing in like hot young actors to do a lot of the new movie voices.
Leonard Nimoy was not hot or young. There was Orson Welles, and neither was John Machida. I'm just saying, not hot, not young.
I'm talking about
Robert Stack. How do you feel about being a hot young actor?
God.
Lionel Standard, you're old as shit.
Talking about some of the other voices.
Okay.
They were basically bringing in all new voices for these new characters. And Bender from The Breakfast Club is not somebody I imagined voicing a Transformers character.
All right. I didn't even remember his name from The Breakfast Club. That's...
I don't either. I still don't.
Yeah. I'm still Sue Blue, how do you feel about being a hot young actor? I'm going to run your shit someday. I'm going to run all this shit someday. Great job, Sue.
Rodimus Prime, you know, Judd Nelson gave an amazing performance with that voice. The character basically gets no real love from the fandom because,
none whatsoever.
Oh, He's no leader. Give us Optimus Prime back. Give us the leader that basically failed us 10-20 different times throughout the entire series. Hot Rod slash Rodimus Prime never actually got a chance to lead properly.
Wow, that could be a whole episode all to itself.
Yeah, exactly. You know,
it didn't.
I don't want to offend Proto Man here by bad mouthing his favorite character too much, so I'm just gonna leave it at that.
Number three, Michael.
Number three, Christopher Collins, also known as Chris Latta.
Chris Latta.
Everyone's like, who? What? John DiMaggio? What did he voice? G1 Starscream. You know what I didn't know, which I thought was funny? He was G1 Wheeljack. You know what's funny? I did not know that all these years. I didn't know that until I looked on IMDb, and I was like, holy crap, he was Wheeljack?
Yep.
Which is cool. And also, another one of my favorite characters from G1 Transformers, Old Snake. Also known as Old Cobra Commander. Because he was Cobra Commander.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So he was. I really like Chris Latta's work back in the day, and you know,
not so much anymore.
Not so much anymore. You know, every once in a while I hear him turning over in his grave, but that's, you know, that's all I hear from him anymore. It's like, what? Well, the SpongeBob guy is playing Starscream. Russell, 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 Russell. Like, oh, there he is.
Damn it, they brought in all those hot young voice actors to...
Oh, shut up. You know what I meant, man.
It's hot young. Oh. Oh, man. Okay.
Kev, number three.
Sorry.
Number three, hurry up. Sorry. We ain't got all night.
I got it mute. I'm sorry.
Number three, come on.
My list here. My number three is also somebody that you had already mentioned, but I feel like he should be higher, and that would be Frank Welker. My last time I'll mention him. Not going to talk about him again. Megatron from Transformers Prime, or Megatron from just about any other incarnation, but I guess if I have to choose one, I'll go with his portrayal during Transformers Prime. Yeah, he did a great job. So, got to have... One of Frank Welker's Megatrons on the list, so I'll put him at number three.
See, now you should be allowed to include G1 and Prime, and then do an essay on, you know, the comparing and contrasting the two.
Right. I'm sorry, I just was trying to keep it together.
Yeah. Assholes, bunch of fucking assholes.
How they brought it. Young and hot guy to come play Megatron.
I wanted to introduce Frank Welker as that, but I couldn't get it out.
Yeah.
I couldn't get the same face either.
Alright, number three. My number three is RC from Transformers Prime. Simile Montano brought so much to the voice into that character. The character is in of itself. RC finally got time to kick ass in this show, and she does. Because let's face it, RC and G1, while Sue Blue is amazing as a voice actress,
yeah,
she was basically the RC. The character was the hoe that every other male Autobot tossed around.
What?
I didn't see that episode.
I didn't. But yeah,
you're just in favor of Simile Montano coming in and replacing Susan Blue because she's a hot young actress.
She is very attractive. We had a nice conversation with Simile, and it was, I don't think we went in that direction. Like,
went in a completely other direction. She told us the story of the time that she was at a voice acting studio. She was pregnant. And she didn't want anybody else to know that she what it was she was pregnant, and she didn't want anyone to know that her water had broken. RC as a character in Transformers Prime, she kicked so much ass. The rivalry she had with Arachnid was amazing. Mm-hmm. The emotion that was brought to the character with the events that had happened to her was absolutely awesome. So, she comes in.
She just got better. And the lines, and as she got better, they gave her better lines, mm-hmm. and better moments. There was a lot of just emotion and inflection there that we hadn't seen previous to that.
Absolutely.
I was going to say, Sue Blue's like, I am totally running this shit, and what? Simile Montano's better than me as RC? Where's that Blanchard? Find his ass.
Yeah. Number two, Michael.
Number two. I command you to do a number two. Peter Cullen is my number two. And I know you're already guessing who number one is. Peter Cullen is my number two because he is Optimus Prime. He is Optimus Prime. And when they brought him back for the movies, it was pretty fantastic. I was.
That's not Optimus Prime.
Well,
I don't care.
We've had this conversation a thousand times. I'm not saying that G1 Optimus Prime equals movie Prime, Bayformer Prime. I'm saying that he voiced both of them.
Mm-hmm.
Did he voice them equally? No. Are they the same character? No.
No.
But he voiced them both. And I was very happy when they brought him back to play in the movies. Because if they had chosen anybody else, I wouldn't have been as happy. I probably would have gone. I'm not going to say I would have boycotted the movie. I would have seen it. I probably wouldn't have enjoyed it as much. You know, it's like if Keanu Reeves had played Optimus Prime, I would have been like, oh, you know, we brought in somebody young and hot like Keanu Reeves, and you know, it just didn't work. He was like, Optimus Prime stands up and goes, "Whoa." It's like, no. I only use Keanu Reeves because Keanu Reeves was in The Matrix, and his opposing, you know, the antagonist in The Matrix was Hugo Weaving, who they did bring in as a movie Megatron. Exactly. This is, see where it comes? This is a full circle.
It's like a stand-up comedian right now.
Exactly. And one more thing. Peter Cullen played G1 Ironhide.
Yes.
Which was another one of my favorite G1 characters. You know, because he just had this weird southern drawl type of thing going on. Mm-hmm. And they didn't have Peter Cullen reprise his role as Ironhide in the movie.
Also,
yeah, but Jess Arnell did a good job.
Streetwise and Slugslinger.
Slugslinger, really?
And Wingspan and Nightstick.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, yeah, he had a whole bunch of stuff going on.
He did a bunch. He did a bunch. Yeah, I mean, yeah. I don't want to say...
And a guy named Joe.
Some guy named Joe. What do you...
All right, number two, Kevin.
Oh, cut off. All right.
let's wrap this up.
It's almost fucking 1 a.m. here, damn it. Let's go.
Oh, the Grinch that stole Transformer voice fun.
One of those big long canes that he can, you know, pull you off the stage with, like in a vaudeville act.
Yep.
Man, we're having way too much fun. We need to wrap it up. number two, I'm going to go back to Beast Wars for my second voice from Beast Wars. And call it cheap, I guess, but I'm going to go with the same voice actor. Another Scott McNeil voice. My number two all-time Transformers voice would be Waspinator from Beast Wars. I didn't find him as annoying as maybe some people did. I don't know if people found him annoying or not. He was doing a voice that typically could come across as annoying, but he did it in a way that it wasn't to me. And he just had a lot of funny lines. He had a lot of funny dialogue and parts within the Beast Wars series. Obviously, a lot of humor. It was like the Starscream, but not as annoying as Starscream is sometimes. So I really enjoyed Waspinator and Scott McNeil's version and what he brought to that character. So Waspinator, probably a strange pick for some people, but that's my number two.
Yeah, it's good. I like that character.
For a second there, I thought you were going to say Doug Parker as Waspinator as Starscream in The Possession.
Let's not get carried away.
Oh, boy. My number two.
Can we wrap it up here?
You are a huge Transformers geek, aren't you?
My number two is Cheetor from Beast Machines. When he got to Beast Machines and he was a little bit older in...
James Corlett?
Yes, Ian James Corlett. I was going to say the Emperor, for crap's sake.
I always want to call him Ian Michael Corlett, but that would have been wrong.
That would be wrong, yes.
I have called him that in the past. Yes. And I have been corrected. Thank you.
Ian James Corlett as adult Cheetor in Beast Machines. Absolutely love the way he changed his voice between Beast Wars and Beast Machines. Yeah.
Changed his voice through Beast Wars.
Well, yeah. Subtly. But when Cheetor got to Beast Machines, he was the adult. He was, you know, the Rodimus Prime of Beast Machines, and he was the one basically bitch slapping 8 Prime into doing the correct thing
half the time. Given him the title Prime somewhere toward the end. You know, because honestly, it's at one point they said, okay, Big Bot can't lead anymore. He's got his head too deep in his hippie ass. And it's time for someone else to take the reins. And Cheetor took the reins, and he did really well.
He did very well.
And honestly, he probably should have been Cheetimus Prime. Cheetimus Primal.
Oh God.
Cheetimus Primal. Awesome.
Oh boy.
But one more thing before we go on. Ian James Corlett, another one of my favorite voices is the conductor in Dinosaur Train.
Yes. Daughter's in that too.
Yeah, yeah. I want to say both of his kids are in that.
Yeah, I think his son just played. Did he play an ongoing role?
I thought so.
I don't know. Yeah, I think they both are in that. His daughter does more voice acting, but they're both in Dinosaur Train.
Yeah, I love that show. Love that. I've seen the live-action version with my kids at the theater nearby, nice. And it's it was
That's
awesome.
A good show.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, proceed.
All right, number ones. What are our number ones, Michael?
Number one. Dun, 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 dun. Frank Welker. That's it.
Frank end of story.
Welker. That's the end of story. And it's I posted on my Facebook earlier. I thought it was funny. It's like, Frank Welker does all the voices in G1. Oh no, I said Frank Welker voices everyone in G1 Transformers. And then I said, what do you mean by everyone? And I posted the Gary Oldman scene in Leon, where all these cops are getting killed, and Gary Oldman the detective says, go get me everyone. And his lieutenant says, what do you mean everyone? And he goes, everyone! And that's how I feel. It's like, so who did Frank Welker voice in everyone? It's like, it's like with the exception of the ones that we've noted earlier, like Chris Latta and Peter Mullen and Corey Burton, and Dan Gilvezan, it was pretty much Frank Welker. He did like 10 dozen voices. And at least a dozen in this first episode.
Yeah.
He did like everyone. Frank Welker is a national treasure. And I've said it before and I'll say it again many times. I'll say it here now. He is a national treasure. I don't care how much they pay him. Double it.
Kevin, you're number one.
All right, dear.
Optimus Prime.
I don't care what you say, Mike, because I was picking versions of each one specifically, like I did with Transformers Prime Megatron as the one I had to pick. I will go with Optimus Prime, and I'm going to go with the version of his voice from the Bay films.
Really?
Yes.
Why?
I want to hear. I do. I want to know why.
Because for me, it's, and this might be not so much as the voice per se, but it's the best part of the Bay films, number one. It's the thing that brings us back so much to G1. But I honestly think he did a lot with that voice. I'm not saying that he had great dialogue written for him, and some of the stuff's just straight up corny and cheesy and whatever. But,
stupid and horrible writing.
But
when he steps on the lawn and he breaks the fountain, it's like, my bad.
But it was more so for some of his monologues and whatnot. I just felt like he was putting more emotion and more thought into the acting part of his voicing compared to, let's face it, when he did the G1 version of Optimus Prime, he had done that voice at that time in about 12 different cartoons, at least.
Yeah.
He does have multiple voices, which obviously Michael alluded to with the fact that he did things like Ironhide, etc. So he has multiple voices, but he used his exact Optimus Prime voice in a bunch of different cartoons as both villains, as heroes. So he was doing it a lot at that time. So I think it was just something that he was just kind of doing without almost without thinking. Fast forward to the Bay years, all these years later, he hasn't done as much voice work outside of, the stuff he's done with Eeyore and some of these other things, but it had been a while since he had been doing the amount of voices that he was doing in the 80s, and I think with that time and being able to do this voice again, he really kind of took it to heart and put some thought in behind it. And at that point, it wasn't just him doing another version of this voice. It was him doing an iconic voice that's loved by generations of people.
He had the Optimus Prime.
And I just felt it in what he was doing.
I'll totally buy that. Yeah.
So that's my number one is Optimus Prime, Peter Cullen. I could pick multiple versions, but I guess I'll go with the Bay version just for what it meant to me in that movie. And without it, I really would have not had as much fun with those movies. Okay. When I did have fun with those movies. Which wasn't always.
Yeah.
No. All right, wrap this up, Mike. We gotta go.
At least they have a new. At least they have a whole new cast for this new trilogy. All right, my number one. Obviously, even though G1 Optimus is not a good leader as far as a character. He isn't. I showed you that video. It's true.
I can't wait till G2.
Sitting there playing basketball with the other Autobots while they should be planning against the Decepticons, give me a break.
I would much rather have that than someone who's going to go whining to other people that he doesn't know how to lead. Oh, and goes to the person that you're saying is a bad leader. But anyways.
Is Optimus Prime Peter Cullen G1? As much as I don't really care for his leadership style and a lot of the fuck-ups that he had in G1, there is no denying Peter Cullen as G1 Optimus is the best Optimus voice.
You talk about F-ups.
Yeah.
Didn't your favorite character make the ultimate biggest F-up in Transformers history?
Which would be what?
No. Causing Optimus Prime to die?
That was off-screen. We don't know what happened. It was all black back then. Okay.
Pretty sure that happened twice. And he dropped the Matrix.
Yeah.
And
No, he didn't drop it. Now, wait a second here. He didn't drop the Matrix. Optimus dropped it out of his hand and he picked it up. How is that having him drop the Matrix?
And then he killed himself. Remember that.
Oh, God. He did not kill himself.
He opened up his chest and said, "What happens if I hit you?" And he died.
All right, we're going to go to another quick break. We'll come back if we have any honorable mentions after this.
Possible! No Autobot flies!
Rules were meant to be broken. You got to tune up or tune out, old bot.
Who in the pits of Kaon is that?
So we are back, and it is time for honorable mentions. Michael, do you have any honorable mentions?
I think earlier I mentioned Orson Welles. I talked about everybody. When you guys all made your suggestions that were different from mine, I kind of just nodded and agreed and said, yeah, it's a good choice, especially Kevin. Kevin had a lot of good choices. And I will consider those my honorable mentions.
Okay, man. Let me guess, Kev, you have about 50 honorable mentions,
not 50, right? Not 50. I got a couple different groups. Like I said, I kind of disqualified people that were just doing their regular voice, but that doesn't mean I didn't appreciate it. I really love, obviously, Casey Kasem as Cliffjumper, and I thought for a second about making an all-dead voice team with
Chris Lotto,
Orson Welles, Casey Kasem. I was going to throw
They still haven't found Cliffjumper's body, so...
So Casey Kasem's Cliffjumper from G1, Michael Bell, when he did Prowl from G1, even though it's just his normal voice, was cool. Dan Gilvezan as Bumblebee. I assume that's Chris Latta's regular voice as Wheeljack, but it might
be. Dan Gilvezan's still alive. Hold on.
No, I was no longer on the all dead team. I would have gone Don Messick and a couple other people to add to the all dead team.
Oh, okay.
Oh my God! Till all are dead. Oh my God.
If I was gonna follow the way that you did it, Michael, and picking voice actors, I probably would have found room near the number 9 or 10 spot for David Sobolov for Depth Charge from Beast Wars, Shockwave from Transformers Prime, and some other smaller roles that he did. If you want to go with the Transformers, the movie, I mean, it was real fun with Leonard Nimoy, Eric Idle, Lionel Standard as Cup, John Machida. So those were cool guys. I didn't talk about Beast Wars, some of the other actors, but besides David Sobolov for Depth Charge, I liked Alec Willows as Tarantulas. I thought that was a fun character. Venus Terzo as Black Arachnia. So those were some of the other kind of ones that I was thinking. And one other Frank Welker character that I didn't mention before would have been Sludge from G1. I don't know why. I just felt like throwing another Frank Welker reference in there.
I was going to say, what lines did he have?
Oh, and the other one that was on my list that I almost forgot, Roger Carmel as Bruticus in G1.
Oh, yeah.
That was kind of a fun little voice for a second.
Sure.
For me, I only have three. One of the three is I want to see a voice off between the two characters, the two voice actors. So one of my honorable mentions is Silverbolt from Beast Machines, because I liked the darker Silverbolt than the comedy version he did in Beast Wars. Michael Bell as Swoop in G1. Me, Swoop, no see nothing. Absolutely love that. And here's the voice off that I want to happen. You get into a recording studio, you have Michael Bell at one end and David Kay at the other. Two Grimlocks fighting. That's what I want.
Michael Bell?
Greg Berger.
Greg Berger.
I was so confused for a second.
Yeah.
Shut up.
I've heard people say, you know, Greg Berger, what do you think of David Cage doing Grimlock? And he's like, I thought he was fantastic. You know, he's not me, but.
I think we asked him that. I don't remember. We might have.
I thought I heard that in what is that UK group? They do interviews with.
Oh, Moonbase 2, yeah.
Yeah, they when they brought him out for their auto assembly, I think. They did an interview of, like, it was like a bunch of them all sitting in a hotel room just listening to the Greg Berger stories, and it was awesome.
Yeah. Very cool.
If you can find that on YouTube, it's worth seeing.
I will say that the best Transformers written book is, Dan Gilvezan. My Life is a G1 Transformer, Bumblebee and Me. Oh my god. The audiobook version of Dan Gilvezan's autobiography and talking about the Transformers. I love that. This is just so awesome.
It's a fun book if you haven't already heard all of the stories live.
Well, yes, but where I get my laughs out of it is like when he's doing the disclaimer at the beginning.
Yeah.
Where he says, these are the stories as I remember them, so if they're wrong, go write your own damn book. Right, or something. You know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I'm going to be really interested to see what new voices we get in Transformers Robots in Disguise coming up in 2015. Mm-hmm. What are you looking forward to in the Transformers mythos, Kevin?
I mean, you talked about, and I guess I should have paid more attention to the game voices because there was some cool voices from the games. We talked about the new series, and obviously you said that it's a blend, or possibly looks like it could be a blend between Prime and Animated. I guess if I was saying what I was looking forward to, I will look forward to that if it tilts slightly more towards the Prime side of that.
Okay, when I say this, and I say this because I've read people that have, you know, I've seen the BotCon images, and I've seen the people that are involved with it at BotCon this year say that it's a blend between the two. Where it's a blend is the animation. It's 3D background, but it's 2D animation like what Animated was. So it's not full CGI.
Right. No, I've seen the pictures and everything.
That's what I mean by a blend.
I'm just hoping, I was talking about more of the overall feel of the show.
No.
But honestly, I don't know if I'm looking forward to a whole lot of anything in the Transformers universe at this moment in time. Is that mean and depressing? I don't know.
Well, if you want to try something new, I would suggest the IDW comic book series that are currently going on, because there's some interesting things that go on in there. They're not like anything you've ever experienced before.
I think I'm just going to shift over to Star Wars for a few years.
That might be a safe bet.
More to look forward to.
All right, well, I think that's going to do it for this episode of All Things Transformers. I have no idea what's going to be happening in episode 48. We may or may not be talking about toy lines. It may or may not be just a recap and a report over from ToyCast episode 60. I don't know yet.
Want to talk toy lines.
It's going to be a clip show of all of the offensive things that were said in this episode that have been cut out.
Yeah, don't cut anything out. That's not fair to the listeners. They miss out on some good stuff.
I love it. Everyone always complains that I never edit, and when I say I'm going to edit shit out, everybody complains, don't edit it out.
You know, I just listened to ToonCast episode 100. There's three different moments where you guys are like, edit point, take this out, edit point right here, we will delete this.
That was 5 years ago. It's like
you know, you've never done any work before, well, you know, why start now?
Don't break trend.
I remember back in the day, it was like, this is a free show, you get what you pay for, people. I ain't doing work.
Now, wait a second. I never said that.
It was on the subtitles.
Go back in TFG1, and I remember pretty vividly. Like, what?
Couldn't be more true, though.
Screw you, people.
Mike, I want to ask you a question, Mike.
Going home.
TFG1, Mike, I want to ask you a question.
This part has been edited. Ha ha ha. You'll never know what was actually here.